Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Kuro's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm here in Danger Studios. It's Wednesday afternoon, pre-Wise Guys comedy show. And speaking of Wise Guys, I've got our two comics for tonight. I got our feature comedian and good friend, Brett James, in the studio.
Hey, happy to be here.
And, of course, our headliner tonight. I'm excited because I don't know if you know this, but there was a fallout because you and I talked to each other. There was nothing open. One comic just said he couldn't make it. And then I called you right back and said, dude, Alabella is here in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. That was good timing. And comedians need good timing.
That's right. Yeah, that's like that old famous joke. You know, ask me, Brett, ask me what's the secret to comedy.
What is the secret?
Timing!
Right.
Brilliant!
You ever hear that joke?
I have.
Because you're... Yeah, you're in comedy good. How long now?
Four and a half years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Four and a half years.
Four and a half years.
I'm at
10.
It's been
a good ride.
And?
Oh, God, 30 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Now, what I find interesting as I look at your...
31 years.
I'm at 10 and it's hard to remember. Like, I don't actually remember the official start date. Like, if I think about when I was actually working comic,
years.
Like I was actually getting paid, it's probably been about 7 years. Because
mm-hmm.
that's how long I can date back a date where I was booked.
Well, then I've only been this in 1 year.
What a run. Yeah. 29 years of pro bono work.
31
years. I just wanted to make sure I was really prepared to get paid. I'm a perfectionist. So I spent 30 years just getting, making sure I could do it well.
Right. He took him that long to fill out his W-9. I couldn't remember my Social Security number. Well, that's so 30 years, 10, and...
31 years.
31 years.
You got to say 31, because, I mean, that is...
This is 31.
It is.
It might be 32. 32, actually.
Uh-oh.
It could be... It depends when full
time... Almost the age of my wife.
Full time. What is full time? Really? Wow.
Full time work hours? Usually it depends. 35 to 40 hours? Full time
week? Right. And when did I become a full time comic? You know, well, whatever. 31, 32, something like that.
Wow.
Well, two things. We have like, interesting. Like, you were a lawyer. You got a law degree.
Right.
From University of Miami, you said.
I'm still a lawyer.
And you're still a lawyer. You don't ever, you don't, you have
to. But I don't practice. Even when I practice, I really didn't practice.
Right. Now,
no, but I mean, yeah, I mean.
Did you, like, go on a field out there and say, I object?
Right.
That's, I'm practicing.
Right, exactly.
Bust in a courtroom.
Now, what area of law would you say was your specialty?
It was mostly criminal. It was mostly, like, drunk driving cases.
Right.
I worked in Newport Beach, California. I don't know if you guys ever. I worked for a small town attorney, and he mostly had, it was drunk driving trials.
Right. I have a buddy that does that, DUI attorney and traffic tickets. There's a new app now. It's called Ticked. And what it's doing, it's screwing all the DUI attorneys and traffic attorneys, because you can just go on your app, and for $125, you sign up no matter what. So even if the ticket costs you $250, they got to eat it.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I guess the company went and harvested a few local, you know, attorneys to be a part of the organization to get this filter of business. But it's a risk to the, you know, some of my attorney friends, like, it's a risk, because then all of a sudden, you know, the case is $250. I got to come up with $100, whatever.
I don't understand. See, I'm such a bad lawyer that I don't even understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. He's like, an app? What is this app stuff you speak of?
I'd like
an application?
I'd like to request a mistrial. We haven't even begun. You know what I'm saying?
No, because I mean, I have a little idea, because I had going through a U-turn ticket, and I looked online, and you can join, you know, you could have someone fight it for you,
right.
A lawyer, and you could sign. But you're telling me you can hire a law firm for $250 to represent you on the DUI through this app?
Well, no, I wouldn't say DUI. I'm like a traffic ticket.
I thought you started this conversation with DUI.
Listen, I don't want to get an argument with a lawyer.
Practicing.
You said DUI.
I can feel that.
He's baiting
that,
you.
He's pulling me into that black hole of questions.
Baiting you.
Right, because $250 seems cheap for DUI.
No, I thought
you went from DUI to $250 pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, he's a DUI attorney.
I will always be on it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Hell, I'll start drinking tonight. I'll drink a six-pack before I go home for $250. It's cheaper than my root canal.
Right.
My dentist root canal, $1,400.
But that's normal.
Is it?
Well, are you taking crown and root canal?
I have a crown on the tooth.
Wow.
So they got to drill through the crown, and it's a molar, I guess, which is more money than a single rooted tooth.
Wait a minute. Crowns go over root canals, don't they?
Well,
so your root canal failed. Is that what you're saying?
No.
You're
here's what happens. Sometimes, like I've had some crowns before, where they said we may have to give a tooth a root canal first if it may be damaged or the. But no, okay. So this one was just done, and now the dentist tells me, well, sometimes the tooth just dies underneath the crown. I'm like, well, what the hell, man? That's why everybody's telling me just have them pull it and put a post in.
Yeah, I don't know about dental stuff because you know my background. I was in the military for 21 years almost. That's why I stayed.
They always fix your teeth.
Yeah,
something happened.
They do everything.
Yeah, that's great.
And you don't pay nothing. So I was like, I'm staying here until they tell me it's time for me to get out of here.
You got nice teeth, dude. You got good teeth.
Thank
man.
You. Thank you.
You floss? Do you floss?
Yeah, I get the little deal.
You got the disposable
the
floss.
Yeah,
thing?
The little. You know, you sit there with the pick and you.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
Yeah, my roommate has. Well, not a pick, but I mean,
well, they're like the disposable. The
yeah.
I can't do my fingers and. That's just too much.
Is that the thing that looks like a little banjo, guitar, like a one-string guitar?
Yes, it's wonderful.
But I never learned how to use it.
You just stick it in there. And
then is that, how many teeth can one thing do?
It depends on, I think
it's like. Do you have to clean it after each tooth?
I mean, you know, I take my finger and kind of.
Just wipe off.
Yeah. How do you flick it, right?
Yeah. All
right,
it's got a napkin, you know, I'm just like, I don't, you know, two, three maybe.
Two, three what?
Like two or three of those little deals.
To go through your whole
mouth? Yeah, after dinner. Yeah.
To go through your whole mouth.
Yeah.
And you buy a whole package of them.
Yeah, there's like 200. Yeah, it's like 200 coming.
They come in a whole bunch. Yeah. Like, I did a promo video for a product that was like a reusable floss machine, but it wasn't string. It looked like a little boomerang. It had like this metal, like real thin. I tried it. It sliced the shit out of my gum.
Oh, my God.
But their call was the quickie. Like, it's a quickie. So I did a video. It was like it started me and this one female comic. She comes up to me. She's like, I just made. Did you enjoy breakfast? I said, yeah, it was great. She goes, you got time for a quickie? I'm like, yeah. And then I'm working with a coworker, another comic. We walk out of a restaurant, and I go, hey man, it's gonna be fun working with you this year. And he's like, thanks man. Hey, he goes, you want a toothpick? I go, no. Why don't we go to my car and have a quickie? Mm-hmm. And he's looking at me. I hope this isn't my job description. Right. All right, I wrote that. And then the last was Pam Bruno, if you read that comic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was my mom, and she goes, I go, Mom, you always make the best food. What a great meal. And she goes, oh, that's my boy. And now I go, now I'm going to go back in my room and have a quickie. She goes, you're going to go blind. And then that was it. So that was my commercial funny. Writing. I wrote one commercial. It never aired. That's the problem.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I was about to say, I've never seen it.
Yeah. No, I got paid. I got an iPad. That was my, I got, you know.
That's not a bad deal.
That iPad over there? That you showed me?
No, another one that ended up somehow blowing up. Mm-hmm. It may have been a refurbished iPad I got. I got screwed. I didn't do well in that deal.
So back to the $250.
Right. Yeah. All right. So this is for tickets. So there's a company called Ticked. And like you're ticketed, you're ticked off kind of thing. And it's an app on the phone. So you go on that and you pay a fee. And I think the fee is $125 to $150. You're not asked to pay anything else. You submit the court case, whatever the ticket number is, citation number, and that's it. You're done. They're supposed to handle it. Whether or not the attorney, whether or not the case comes back and says, you know, and I don't know if the attorney has a chance to look at it and go look at the guy's driving record. It looks like a
Walgreens receipt.
Yeah. My mom.
But what if you get convicted? What if the attorney?
Well, we're not. This is not DUI. So let's say he needs whatever. That's it. I don't know the points and stuff. They hit you with your license, but that's it. If there's fees, you have to pay the points. I don't know. That's it. That doesn't happen with DUI because you know this. The minimum in a DUI is $10,000, right? Isn't that the number when you get a DUI? You think that's
yeah.
Now when I was a lawyer, it was only $5.
Yeah.
Now I'm done.
Well, you're cheap, man. You doing root canals?
Jesus, this lawyer.
I mean, maybe you should start doing root canals, brother,
right.
For $10. Jesus. Somebody told me to go to Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. Costa Rica is awesome.
I'm going to get a lot done in Costa Rica.
Mm.
Just saying. Well, here's the thing. You mentioned this all earlier as well. Like Brett just recently retired from the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm a financial advisor of 30 years, so I still maintain a practice. So I could pay for the house and stuff and not my feature pay, you know, as a comic touring around the country.
Oh, like you did well for yourself featuring, Dougie. This is a beautiful house.
I negotiate my deals. You know, I sell a shitload of merch. I started selling cock rings. That was my merch. I don't bother supplying the small ones. No one's ever going to come.
What is a cock ring? Is that a thing around your penis?
Yeah. It's like a... sometimes
where have you been, sir? Where have you been hiding?
Just preparing for that.
You're like, what is this? Apps? Cock rings?
I've been preparing for my first year paying as a paid comic.
Oh, I got you. I've been working.
Now, you know what a cock ring is.
No, I've heard of it. But no, I've maybe... I've heard of it once before because, like, I don't even know if I've ever heard of it, but hearing it, I got to know what it is.
Right. I mean,
but why wear a ring around your dick?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you're committed. No, never mind. Right. That means you're married.
To what?
They're married to that
one. Oh, is that what it is? It's like it's a marital ring?
No. some marital guys may want to, I guess. But what it is, they either real restrictive, like a metal one. Which is dangerous.
What does it mean, restrictive?
Like if we have
you can only go into certain country clubs with it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's only certain people allowed to wear a cock ring. Sorry, ladies, you can't wear a cock ring.
What does it mean, restrictive?
All right, it's restrictive, meaning like, let's say it's metal. Like if you put it on, it doesn't give. You have to roll it off or hopefully.
But that's dangerous. Like, what if you get excited?
Yeah, that's the problem with a metal one.
Why would someone want a metal one?
You know, some people jerk off and hang themselves at the same time as David Carradine. But at the same, but I mean. So they usually make ones that are rubber and they give a little bit. All right, those are safer. But what it is, you put it on and you roll it all the way up to the base of your penis, and it turns your cock ends up turning into an eggplant. Like all the blood just it bulbs and gets bigger, I guess, and less sensitive.
Where is the base of the penis? That's the bottom.
The bottom, yeah, okay. Right where you know.
Roll it to there. What happens?
So eventually. Like basically, if you took like picture you put a chokehold on your penis.
Why would it be choking?
Because you want it a little bit snug.
And do you fit it to your penis? I mean, you already know this. It's a certain size.
Well, and I went. They go, how big's your dick? And I went, I don't know about this.
So they gave you estimated.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to get one that's like a size
too small because you can't get it on.
You want like Velcro pants. You want to be able to have.
This is fascinating. Right?
No, you want to have a little give and take.
I'm just watching this interaction between you two.
It's like when you get chubby like me, you don't buy the pants that are like, you know, you want them a little bit
of stretch.
Well,
how would you have any idea?
Because you know you're going to eat later, right? Yeah. You know you're going to eat later. You need some room in
Thanksgiving Day
there,
pants.
You know?
Right. Yeah. So when you buy a cock ring, you want to think like you're going to wear pants to Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Right, but they can't, like when you go into a store to buy pants, they might, you know, put a thing around your waist, but no one's going to put a thing around your penis.
Well,
some of them also have like stuff to stimulate the woman while you're in there.
It warms up. It actually vibrates.
Yeah. So some of them are vibrating.
Yeah, so when it's around you and you're in her, and you're like, let's say you're grinding a little bit, as they'd say, and you're kind of sitting there, you're maybe in a makeout
session. Take care of the top portion of her, you know what I mean?
Warms up.
When did this thing get invented?
I don't know the actual date where it broke out on the shelves, but right. I don't know
when the cock ring take off. U.S. sales of maybe the cock ring. You have to Google that.
Maybe somebody in Facebook Live Land would know.
Has been around for Google. It's your sense. It's
cock
been around
ring
for many
sales
years.
In America.
I'm guessing. You know, I don't remember where there's an IPO of cock rings. Like, you know, I was on
you have to contact a cocksmith to find out.
On CNBC. Just, they're like, okay,
we're welding cock rings.
Do you think someone patented it? Did someone?
I imagine. You know, I mean.
Oh yeah, everything's patented.
Yeah, I had a freaky girl that was real freaky, and she got me one, and it was kind of cool because then it had like this thing, like it looked like a rhinoceros horn. So you put it on the top, so you had like a rhinoceros horn coming at the top of your dick, which I guess would play with her, you know, the tickler part.
Yeah,
and it, you know, but it was always like the gel, like the tight gel ones where you can pull them off. But I remember those.
I'm lazy. I've never messed around like with that.
You never
stuff.
Tried one?
I'm lazy.
You never wore one?
Nah.
I've never had sex.
I've never.
What's that?
I've never. They sell them on the shelf now.
Right. No, I'm preparing for
you
sex.
You could go into like Target or something in the personal, like in the condom section.
They
and
have
Trojans making them now. Like they
penis
are
rings?
On sale. Yeah,
penis
they're
rings?
On like on sale.
What do they call them? They don't call them cock rings.
Vibrating something rings or
donuts.
Something. Vibrating.
Wow.
They're massage, like a little,
massage
I think it's
ring.
A massage ring or something like that. Like they, you
can always use the massage word to make something ethical, right?
Massage my nut.
You have a dildo and say, look, it's a massager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Personal massager.
Like Asian massager.
It's a personal.
You know, it's ethical when somebody walks on your back.
Yeah.
Just saying. But you know, what it, like people asking me like
I'm mind blown over cock rings.
Now you've been like you mentioned you are you're still you don't practice law but you're still a lawyer. You're like
well legally I'm a lawyer but right. I'm on the inactive list which means I pay a lot less dues
because right.
If I ever wanted to practice, I have to pay a lot more dues. And I probably should just give it up. But I went through three years of law school. I passed the Florida bar, and then I moved to California. I passed the California bar. Mm. And I just put so much effort into it. It's hard for me just to give it up.
Right.
But yet, I am spending about it's like $55 a year right now for me to keep my license, which is about 90% of my income.
Right. It's not working out. So, you gotta bring in more than you bring out.
Right. So it's cost me. Actually, I got to be the only lawyer who has lost money being a lawyer.
You're like an open micer of the law profession, right? You're like at the open mic level, right? Mm-hmm. You're losing money.
I've lost money doing, as a lawyer.
Doing law.
Lost money. Yeah. I practiced for 2 years, kind of, you know, for 2 years in Newport Beach, California. And I was trying comedy at night already. But when you add it all up, my dues and what I made, I have lost money being a lawyer. Not to mention what I spent on law school.
Ugh.
It's been a disaster.
Now
you spent it. Did you get scholarships? Do you have any grants?
I did have a scholarship for law school, actually.
Yeah.
But
now, like with me as a financial advisor, my license is if I don't practice for 2 years, the licenses go. So you at least got to keep up or be a part of a company.
That's smart.
Every 2 years, otherwise, then you got to go through the whole licensing process. Can you imagine having to take the bar again?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I don't think I ever would, and I don't think I'll ever really be a lawyer. But it's nice to know I could if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I just don't see a law firm hiring someone with 30 years' experience as a comedian.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, how many cases have you had? Four or five. But I've been performing nightly.
Right.
Real exciting stat.
I don't know if it's a night show.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is pretty exciting. One of my favorite of all times. As a young man, I grew up watching Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed. My parents were later. Mm-hmm. They stayed up late, and I would sit on the couch. You know, my dad would be on the whatever the reclining chair, and they'd be half asleep.
Loved Johnny.
They're still watching it. You know, I was a kid. I used to have my feet tickled. So my mom, I put my feet on my mom's lap or my dad, and tickle my feet. That was my big thing.
Right. Either parent would do it?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Both.
Yeah, and I would like, when they stop, you wiggle your foot like a dog, like, come on, and then they start tickling your feet again.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's a nice childhood memory.
Yeah, it's nice. And but Johnny Carson, and you were the last comic to perform.
No, that's not true. Things get exaggerated, I guess. Who told you I was the last?
I think it was your...
Your Wikipedia page.
The Wikipedia thing, or IMD.
What's Wikipedia?
Right.
What the hell is that?
Is that something related
what
to...
What is this internet you speak of?
Is that related to a cock ring? Yeah. Sounds wiki, wacky, cock.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, wiki. I think WikiLeaks were the ones who brought the cock ring out.
Right.
Somebody wrote it on an email, and they said, that's a good idea.
The cock ring.
But no, I was one of the last. I mean, I did it in December of 91, and it ended in May of 92, Carson. So I was one of the last guys.
Right.
And that was exciting because I was thrilled that I got on because there was, the odds of getting on were low. I kept trying. I tried to get on two times previously and no luck.
Right.
And then luckily, somehow, I got approved like in August of 91. And I was one of the last guys. So I was very lucky.
And, and that's got to be like when you audition, they go see you at a club?
Yeah, they saw me at the Improv. And I remember it was nerve-wracking because that, of course, the mic wasn't, it was in the stand, but it wasn't working well. It was like a loose connection.
So
it would go off every couple of seconds. It was like pissing me off. I got really scared. But it ended up working just well enough. And like in showbiz, it seems like 98% of the things, I don't know your experience, is not getting what you want.
Right.
But this was one of the rare times where I got off stage and the guy's name was Jim McCauley that selected the comedians. And I went up to him and he goes, yeah, let's do it. I couldn't fucking believe it. Actual success, without, let's do it, So.
Now, are you somebody who gets I've been especially comedy contests. Recently, I was at the World Series of Comedy that night, right?
Yeah, you did very
and you're
well.
You're on that show.
Yeah.
And when it comes to comedy contests, and okay, now first place or second place or the two people going on, I'm like, I just sit there like, I'm not going to hear my name. I'm just not going to hear my name. And the second place was announced. I'm like, yep, see, that's it. I'm not going to hear my name. Let's go on. I'm going to go home. I'm going to try to tell myself I'm still funny, like Stuart Smalley, I'm important, kind of thing. Having that comment. And then, of course, they announced, I'm like, holy shit. Hey, so that was the part. Do you think that way? Do you think more negatively or positively? Well,
more negative, because I remember I remember Star Search with Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
I won that in 1988.
Wow. 100 grand.
Yeah, 100 wow. grand, yeah.
Did they give you that in a lump sum, or did they make you a 20-year
annuity?
Well,
it's a funny story, actually. I expected 100 grand, right? But what I didn't realize is that the year I did it, 1987 season, which, you know, the finals aired in 1988, but whatever. The year I did it, they cut back. It was the fifth year of the show. And what they did was they deducted the amount of money you earned on previous episodes just as from being on. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
So here I am literally in February with like $50 in the bank, completely broke. And I'm waiting for the check to arrive. And I open it up and I see a check for more money than I ever saw in my life, $94,862.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's not 100.
Yeah.
You wanted that 100K on there, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Who'd you beat? Like, who did you take down?
The last show was a very funny guy, Mike Dugan, last guy. But I was on with some very funny people.
Oddly enough, he sells cock rings.
Right, right.
Mike Dugan, California. He's a cocksmith out of California.
He sells them he's a lawyer. He works
more money than
he works for that ticketed application. He's one of the guys.
He's a founder.
That's cool as shit, though.
I remember thinking with Star Search, though. I remember thinking, it's not that I want to win. I just want to not lose.
Yeah. Right.
That was my feeling. I didn't want to lose. I wasn't excited. But I think that's what Tony Robbins, I was listening, because I've been driving Lyft in L.A. sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to Tony Robbins tapes. And one of the things he said, it really stands out. Everyone knows that people will do a lot to, people want pleasure and to avoid pain. Those are the two drives, get pleasure, avoid pain.
Right.
But he said he found in working with people, people will do more to avoid pain than to seek pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, people don't want to be hurt. People don't want to lose nowadays. Right. Just people are afraid to lose anymore, man.
Well, I think that's very true, you know, because I'll give an example. In a contest, last time I was nervous. I was at the 10K Dubuque Challenge at the Mississippi Moon Bar.
Are they still doing that?
I think they are.
Are they still doing that?
And I went there.
You mean that's a running
It's
marathon?
Like an annual contest they have, like a $10,000 prize for comedy.
Oh, why is it called Dubuque?
It's in Dubuque, Iowa.
Yeah,
at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino. And there, I went on there because of couple reasons. One, the booker from the Funny Bone, Dave Stroop, was going to be there judging. So this is a way to showcase the owners of Comedy Zone, Funny Business. Another booker's going to be there. I'm like, I had worked for some of them, but I was getting like the shitty gigs, you know, the outskirt gigs. And I said, let me go and get in front of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I remember thinking to myself, what the funny thing about that year was they didn't take video submissions. They just basically took the first 50, 60 people that entered.
Oh, wow.
So
I remember you left. We were hanging out. You left Vegas, right? You left Vegas to go do that.
I may have.
Yeah, it was 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, you left Vegas to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember that.
When
we first met.
Yeah, the funny thing is, some of the other nights, you could tell the people that obviously nobody really looked at the submission tape because they were horrible.
Wow.
And my night, I get up there and everybody's crushing. I'm like, and then I had that thought, man, not only do I not want to, not too worried about winning this fucking thing.
I don't even want to go up.
I don't want to be the one guy who eats a dick on stage tonight. You know, and here I get the showcase in front of these people. I busted my ass. I've done everything to get here. To do what? To get up here and screw up? So yeah, that fear definitely drove. I had a good set, thank God. Mm-hmm. But that's all I was worried about. I was worried about screwing up.
It's overwhelming sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Just nuts. If somebody's going to go on their own, like I think of local comic, Florida comic Jody White. She's married to Dale Jones, funny comic, live in L.A. now. She was a mortgage broker, and she was featuring and touring around, kind of like what I'm doing. And she was a mortgage broker making great money in the mid-2000s, right? Things were nuts. But then when that went to shit with the financial crisis, it was almost like she was being pushed off the plank. You know, like this is life making your decision for you. You can't say I'm just going to keep doing this job. And so then she went full force into comedy and never looked back. So I'm like, I'm wondering if it's going to be the computers, or what, you know, if a supercomputer is going to take over money management. Like, when's the day going to come that I'm finally going to get pushed out of the financial planning business?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what it's. I always say I'd love to wake up in the morning and think about nothing but funny, as opposed to the stock market, what the government bond's doing, what's trade, you know.
What's going on in politics that's going to affect the stock market. Yeah.
Now, you're retired now. Yeah. You're retired now. You got two boys, two twins.
Yeah,
two
twin boys. They just turned a year old. Yeah, and I'm a stay-at-home dad now. And, yeah, I wonder every day, like, what should I be going towards, you know? Like, I'm really, really struggling with that right now, you know? I mean, it's a I worked hard to get road work, and then my boys were born, and now the I hate being gone because I'm home with them every day, and so.
Well, who takes care of them when you leave?
My wife and my wife works. She comes home at night, and my mother-in-law is around. Like, she's a tour guide, so she controls her schedule, so she helps out. And we got a young college student that comes by and helps us in the afternoons. Helps me primarily, like high fives me, gives me a little. Couple hours break, man.
Is it a young Swedish girl? What do you got?
Don't get me in trouble. Baby.
I was gonna say,
she's a horrible. We're Facebook friends. She's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful girl. Very sweet girl.
The issue for you is how much you want to leave town to perform, because you want to be away from your kids.
Yeah, I was gone a lot. Like, I was gone right when they were born. I was gone a bunch, and then one time I got home from I was working at the loony bin in Wichita, and I had to leave on Wednesday. And I didn't get home till Sunday afternoon, and I went to pick him up, and he was crying. He didn't want anything to do with me. And he was like 3 months old, one of my boys, and I start crying, man. I was like, what am I doing? I'm just trying, I'm at the MC feature level right now of my career, and I'm featuring more than I'm MCing now, which is great, but it's to get to, over that hump where now I got a feature for a bunch of years, sure. Before I can get that bump and get those credits and all that. It takes time away from the family, And
what do you think?
Where you got to find that balance.
Somebody's going to go full time, what do you think they need?
Well, one question I have is flew out to feature in Wichita?
No. I was MCing, but I got a look to feature that weekend that I was out there. So it was a good week.
It's like an audition
from
MCing to featuring.
But how did you end up MCing in Wichita? You flew out to MC in Wichita?
No, I drove up. I was living in Oklahoma. Living in Oklahoma City at the time.
I was based out
of Oklahoma City. So I started comedy. Actually, I started in Orlando, and then right away I got a deployment to Yemen. And I had to do a lot of training to go to Yemen. Yemen took a year out of my life just to get ready to go to Yemen, then 7 months over in Yemen. So I was like, I'm going to get going with comedy after Yemen. And then after Yemen, while I was in Yemen, I got orders to Oklahoma from Florida. So I had to relocate to Oklahoma for my last 3.5 years. So I started comedy out in Oklahoma City at the Looney Bin out there.
Oh, okay.
And then they hired me right away. I've been DJing weddings since 2000 on the side, and I feel like I have a really good energy on stage. They love my energy. They were like, you got to work on your writing and all that, but we love the energy. So I started MCing right away, and then they put me on the road to Tulsa, Wichita, Little Rock, and then that's when I really started learning, the business and all that, because I was always in those clubs like every 2 months.
That's a big thing. I tell people.
Early.
I was excited when I think it's been over 30 states now I performed in.
That's awesome.
And that's a big thing, because to see different crowds, right?
Sure,
But if you think there's, whether it's a characteristic, whether it's a talent, what do you think somebody needs to make it?
Well, let me say one thing is, I don't necessarily think it's bad that you have a day job,
right.
Or that you also have to take care of your kids, because you need a lot. Having a life is an important thing.
Yeah.
And like Albert Einstein, I was reading about him. He really liked the fact that having that patent job. He started out working at a patent office, right? And that's where he wrote his first great theory, special theory of relativity, because he had something that focused him, and then his mind would wander, but he had something that gave him a place, a discipline, a place.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes if you have too much free time, you can lose every focus and do nothing.
When I was in the military, man, I couldn't wait to go do comedy at nighttime. I couldn't wait to write. I couldn't wait to, I couldn't wait to, and now I'm not in the military, and now I'm like, it's my kids now.
Right.
And I can't write like I want because my kids, but I'm just kind of, I can make the, it's just one of those deals.
What does that mean? I have the ringer.
That's it. We're going to take a break anyway, by the way.
This
is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and that guy.
It's almost like the
you.
Johnny Carson music, letting you know it's time.
Yeah. It's a tinkle on Doc Severinsen starts playing on the trumpet a little bit. But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Special guests in the studio, Brett James and Al LaBelle. Here, by the way, who are going to be at Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight in Tavolino's in Coral Springs, just $10. Some of the best Italian food. You've never been there yet.
I can't wait to eat. I've heard about the food.
We eat like pigs after, unless you're the headline. You can eat before, because if it's not, Ed brings out family style.
Can I eat before and after?
Yeah, you can. You can actually eat during if you want to.
Do whatever the hell
just
you
give
want.
The guy a cannoli while he's talking. Hey, we'll be back with straight from the headlines.
Can I perform with a cock ring?
Yeah, matter of fact, if no one notices, I'm sorry. But it usually helps. Mm-hmm. It definitely helps. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Steve Marshall, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And if there's anybody who likes to wake up late, it's me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
And welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. Who cannot read the newspaper or watch the news today and not see something crazy happening? Right? I mean, think about it, especially in Florida.
Oh, we're the capital of craziness. We're the capital.
We are.
I hate to interrupt. I'm very sorry for that. I was working with Forrest Shaw. You know Forrest?
Mm-hmm.
He's Jim Jeffries' opener. But he had a hilarious bit about how he said, I'm sure every state's got screwed up news in America. He said, maybe Florida just has the best PR department.
Yeah, they're really definitely good getting it out there.
What makes them more screwed up here?
Well, you always hear, anytime you hear something crazy in America, you're like, probably Florida.
I don't think that.
No?
I don't know. Not necessarily.
Well, everybody does.
I do remember the big thing for me in 2000 was the election thing.
Right, Florida, the chat.
Yeah,
but what are the other things?
Oh, like eating people's faces, like zombies. I mean, child pornography cases, pedophiles. Florida's like the
capital
of pedophiles.
Every one of those things is happening on my
street in California. A special on Netflix called Pervert Park. Have you?
Hmm.
It's just a trailer park of like child. They got child. You know, what's it called? A
pedophile.
Pedophile. Like, yeah, they're pedophiles. Child molesters. It's a whole trailer park of them. They keep them. It's in
it's Florida, though, right?
Yeah, it's in Florida. Yeah, it's in Florida. Of course.
Hmm. They got a swimming pool. It's real far away from a school, though.
Very far.
Here's an example of a story. Bar refuses service to a woman because of their shorts.
Florida.
Facebook post about one Louisiana bar's new dress code has become about as heated as recent battle over U.S. House Representative sleeveless rule. You think it's stupid? Like, you're a lawyer. Would you ever go to court with a short sleeve shirt with a tie on?
No, only because I think it's stupid that you can't.
Right.
But I wouldn't go because I'm representing a client, you know, and you don't want to.
Yeah, it's not a good look wearing short sleeves.
I think it is.
Yeah, we did that. We did that in the Air Force. Like when we had to wear our service uniform, like when we had to wear our blues, it was called, you know, our blues. We had short sleeve and long sleeves.
Yeah, I
never
see
wore. I never hardly ever wore the short sleeve though with the tie because I really thought it didn't look.
It's kind of a
good.
Weird feeling.
Yeah, I always wore my long sleeves with my cufflinks with it, but it was allowed and it was deemed professional. For the United States Air Force, so I don't know why the court. I always thought the court system takes themselves a little too, you know, like judges and you know the whole.
Well, that's a hierarchy. Judges are gods, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, also, you know, England still has the wit. They wear wigs.
So damn stupid. Yeah, it's like
get over yourself. This particular woman was not allowed in because her shorts were too short. Now I'm going to assume I see a photo
in
of
a
her.
Private establishment.
It was a restaurant.
Yeah, that's their deal.
I mean, yeah, I would assume if she was hot, they probably wouldn't care. But she's a bit beefy.
And how short are the shorts? You look
well.
At them,
yeah.
Right?
Well, she's a kind of a big woman.
Ah, come on. There's nothing wrong with those.
There's nothing wrong with those, right?
She has a nice shirt on. She's got heels on.
Yeah.
She got heels on. Like, come on. She definitely put some thought into that outfit. She wanted to look cute to go out to dinner with her whoever she was.
But don't restaurants have the right to set their own dress guidelines? I think it's silly. I think dress guidelines are. You look at me. I don't. And this is what I always wear.
He's got a jacket on, a shirt, and a short.
I had a lot of questions when I walked in and she can say it. I'm like,
he doesn't trust.
You know where you're at.
He doesn't trust the weatherman. He's like, I don't know if it's gonna be hot or cold. I don't know. I'm gonna wear shorts and a jacket.
No, my mother was always telling me as a kid, put on your jacket. And I think I did. So she forced it on me. So I think my immune system has evolved.
You just take it off. You're like, ooh, it's chilly in here.
You know, she ruined my immune system. She ruined
like an old Jewish lady. It's cold in here. Ooh.
Right. I have the body of an old Jewish lady.
AC on 80.
Well, they kicked this poor lady out of the restaurant.
Damn.
And there was people that were like, get out of here, you whore.
Really?
Yeah, like that? I mean, you know.
But did they kick her in the shorts?
I wonder who kicked her out because that's a shitty job. That's a shitty deal that you're like, hey, Kevin, I know it's your first week here, but go kick the lady out and tell her.
And then they're also saying the problem was on Facebook. People knew who she was, so they started commenting on her Facebook page.
That's a small town.
Yeah.
That's a vendetta. That sounds like they've been
I'm just saying.
They've been waiting to embarrass her for something.
Well, that makes I could see saying no shorts allowed, but like the shortness of the shorts, like that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
What are you, in school? It's like you're in school now. Like you can't wear a certain
Bermuda shorts are fine?
Yeah.
Right?
Right,
I'm just little Bermuda shorts.
Now you would expect something like this in Saudi Arabia, for example. Another story: a Saudi woman was arrested for wearing a miniskirt in public.
She was flaunting it too.
Yeah, I mean the problem is you don't want to get those guys robbed.
She went walking around on a sacred site, though on a religious site. She went skipping around like showing, and then she was like, "Oh, somebody." That wasn't. I'm like, come on, you knew what you were. I mean, I've been deployed over there. They are.
They're very tight, very strict.
But was that a native Saudi woman?
Yeah, she took off her deal and went prancing around.
So what did she?
She wore a skirt and a
halter top,
and a halter top,
like a half shirt.
Yeah.
So she was arrested.
Yeah.
Oh, she's gonna be. She'll probably disappear. Let's just say that she'll probably.
A day
disappear.
After police in Saudi Arabia arrested a young woman who filmed herself touring a Saudi village wearing a miniskirt and a crop top. Associated Press reports that she's been released without charge. Police began their search for the woman whose BuzzFeed News identified as model Kulud after she posted the video on Snapchat. Can you imagine the cops? Look at her! Get her!
There was a kid that was flirting with a girl in the States, and he got arrested. He got arrested for flirting with a online. He was sending her YouTube videos and stuff saying he loved her and all this, and he got arrested for it. Somebody turned him in.
Really?
Now,
here's a story that I have to ask you guys whether or not what you would do in this situation. But a man fought a bobcat on video. this guy was driving down the street. I guess it's somewhere on the West Coast.
Oh, man.
But the guy saw a bobcat.
Florida bobcats.
Are they? Yeah. The bobcat was attacking a dog. And then the guy got out of the car and tried to break up the dog fight with the cat. And then the fucking bobcat bit the guy's hand, attacked him.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out now the bobcat has rabies. And we all heard that terrible story about getting the shots in your stomach. Now you got to go through that painful deal, right? I imagine rabies shots are much worse than a root canal.
Are you asking, would we stop and try to break up a bobcat?
What would you do if you saw a bobcat and a dog?
That's nature running its course. That is the food pyramid, that is the this guy. How do you notice that? Where is he driving to notice that happening? Can you imagine driving your car and be like, is that a bobcat fighting a dog?
Yeah.
Well,
the guy got out of the car, and then another person had to jump in his car to keep it from rolling off the fucking street. And then he got involved.
He was that dead. Like, he just hopped out. Oh, my God.
This guy,
he's got a thing against bobcats.
Well, I feel bad. I mean, like, the dog is not part of, like, wild nature like the bobcat.
Right.
So the bobcat's kind of eating, like, a domestic.
A friend.
Like almost like a part of humanity.
A member of the family.
A member of humanity.
Yeah.
It wasn't his dog.
Well, dog's best friend, buddy. You don't let a dog, I have a weird relationship with lizards.
I hate when humans mistreat dogs, but if you, what I mean?
All right, so you'd sit there and watch a dog get eaten by the bobcat.
Yeah, I would. I would keep on moving.
I wouldn't watch.
I would just be like, damn, who let their dog out to get eaten by a bobcat? Like, it's not like the bobcat knocked on someone's door and then took, somebody let their dog run around, or it could have been a stray dog.
I can barely survive without my jacket. I cannot. I certainly can't break up dog bobcat fights.
Now, would you break up a fight between Bobcat Goldthwait and Sam Kinison?
No, I can't break up fights.
One of the craziest things I've seen with animals was I was with my buddies. This was a few years ago, and we were walking down a hallway, and we just got back from the pool in my buddy's apartment building, and this girl was walking her little poodle down the hall, and this guy's pit bull got out, and it attacked the poodle, and my buddy, he headlocked the pit bull and was telling us he knows how to control, and he started jamming the pit bull in the eye, and then punching it on its snout to let go of the poodle. And It was the craziest thing. Like
that's the same thing. That's the same thing you do if you get attacked by an alligator. By the way,
yeah, I just could not believe he just snatched up a pit bull like that and started beating
and he let go of the poodle.
Yeah, let go of the pit bull. He chucked the pit bull and the poodle was dull. I mean, the poodle was messed up, but horrible. Yeah, it was.
So you wouldn't jump insane. In. You wouldn't jump in and help the dog whether you have your jacket or not. You'd probably.
I can't jump.
Yeah.
I've lost the ability to jump.
I'm not stopping.
I might be able to fall in. The best I could do is fall.
Yeah, like fall on it.
And maybe like
that's what I'd probably do. I'd probably do like an off the top rope and just crush both of them.
Right.
You know, I'm going to end the pain.
Would
I'm
you?
End the pain.
Would you?
Not would if you I saw stop? A fucking bobcat.
Hey, you first saw thing, a bobcat?
I carry a gun. I might have broken out the gun and try to put a bullet in the
you
bobcat.
Would shoot the bobcat?
Fuck yeah, I'll shoot the bobcat.
Why?
Because you feel bad for the dog?
I'm a dog owner. I can't sit there and
is
watch it.
Storming?
That's like that video like a year or so ago when that guy's dog was being attacked.
Oh yeah, but that was his dog
in Australia by that dog and then he, or by the fucking
kangaroo.
And the guy went over and just started boxing with the kangaroo and he hit him with a right and the kangaroo went, fuck, that was quick, mate. And he fucking stood off.
Oh no, you mate.
I never saw that.
That was a funny video.
I would not. Yeah, I would. I mean, I wouldn't even if I had a gun. I would like. Why are you going to shoot the bobcat? Like. It's just trying to survive. You know what I mean? Like, it's just trying to live.
Bobcats can attack other animals, but they usually don't attack humans. That's why we figured out he was rabid.
Because he attacked a dog?
No, he attacked a human. Usually the bobcat won't attack a human unless he's got rabies.
Or
smoking flock.
Well, the guy was, like, trying to get the bobcat, though, right? Like,
well,
that's why he got bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Humans are assholes sometimes, man.
Well, you know what they say is going to be around a lot longer than humans, cockroaches. Where are you from originally?
New York.
New York? Queens. That's right. As we mentioned that. And but in Philadelphia, the mean streets of Philadelphia, Philadelphia streets horrified as cockroaches invade. Could you imagine sitting there and watching a bunch of cockroaches come out of a manhole cover? And there's so many of them.
Nightmare.
They actually build. They get height. Ugh. Like they're off the ground.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Came out of a manhole cover?
Residents of Philadelphia Street were horrified when thousands of cockroaches emerged from a sewer drain, forming a swarm so big that it covered the street at one stage, according to the city officials on Tuesday.
Wow. That's horrified is the correct word to use in that
Now,
situation.
Would you go and jump in there in the middle of the...
No.
If you saw a $100 bill in the street and it dropped into the bunch of cockroaches,
nope.
Would you go grab it?
Nope.
No.
I'm half black. I'm half black. You know, black people run from cockroaches. There.
So do white people.
Yeah. Why you gotta be so different? Yeah, we're all equal, man. Stop trying to be special.
We all hate cockroaches.
Yes. Thousands of them. They said it was a horror story. A small task force of city workers on Tuesday, let's call them the lucky guys, found the source of the infestation: a drain clogged with refuse. A spokesman for the Philadelphia Water Department said. That's what contributed to the swarm. All that caca. I didn't know roaches like caca.
Wow.
I thought they liked chocolate and sugar. Roaches are a fact of life. Yeah, we all know that. But I don't know. That'd be scary as shit.
Wasn't there a more recent
Twilight Zone where they had a... the last one they did where that guy died from the helicopter. What was that actor's name who died?
Morrow?
Vic Morrow. He died in that. Remember that was the latest, like...
He got his head chopped off.
Yeah.
Yeah, filming that scene. Scary shit. But there was one in there that had... There was one of those episodes. I think it was Cockroach. Or that was the Crypt... I don't know. I can't remember. Like you said, I can't remember shit.
That was a long time ago.
The older I get, I can't remember things.
A long time ago.
Just saying. That's important.
Horrified is the correct word for that story, though. That's a nightmare.
I
would never do anything, and not just any example you give. What
you're
would you
like,
do?
No, nothing.
Now, do you have hobbies? What do you do, man? You stand up comedy. What else you do?
Nothing.
That's a good question. What do I do?
You look like a reader.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you look like enjoy books.
Do I look tired?
You just look like you enjoy a good book.
Does my finger look real healthy from flipping the pages?
Yeah, I've been reading the book, The Power of Now. You have Eckhart Tolle. Yeah, I like that guy a lot.
I wish I could get back into reading. I was, when I was younger, I couldn't, I loved reading, but now it's just, I'll go to sleep if I start trying to read a book.
Well, I'm losing a little interest too, because I noticed I used to always run into a Barnes and Noble, and I did it once since I've been down here.
Yeah,
but I don't have that same energy anymore. Like, what's the point? All this new information? Who gives a damn?
Yeah, right.
I just don't care.
Hey, I know somebody who's had time to read O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
Story says that his parole may be in jeopardy after he was caught masturbating in a Nevada prison by a female correction officer. It's the juice.
Trying to find anything on O.J. to keep him in.
O.J. Simpson could be denied parole after he was caught pleasuring himself in the cell. Says here, a prison source told the news. O.J. is facing disciplinary hearing after being written up for masturbating in his prison cell. He was caught by a female correction officer making her normal rounds. She watched him for 30 minutes.
Really?
I just made that.
She watched him finish.
Yeah. She caught a fly ball from the O.J. O.J., now 70, goes in front of the Nevada Department of Corrections Parole Board on Thursday.
But why would that hurt his probation? Are they afraid he might be a masturbation risk?
Yeah, that's scared he's
like
going to run around. And,
outside the cell? Yeah,
he's going to attack everybody with his...
He probably was like so excited thinking about freedom, you know? Like, he just had to just, you know, push
God
one damn, out.
Damn, I'm going
to
get out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to get out of here.
I'm going to kill another white woman.
I never even thought that masturbation could be, it was not permitted in prisons. I never thought about
it. You would think they'd let you. I know in some prisons they were taking porn away. I remember reading a story a few months ago, and I'm sure it was somewhere in the Bible Belt. You know what I mean? This isn't somewhere you're going to have in New York or California. But they citizens were outraged because they saw that prisoners had access to porn. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what else are they going to do, man? Do you feel more comfortable that they're going to be ass-banging everybody in there? You know, I mean, let them watch. They're in prison.
But it's weird that you could have access to porn but not be allowed to masturbate.
That sounds horrible.
That sounds like torture. Impossible. That sounds like a real penalty.
That sounds like having...
That's a punishment.
You have all the porn you want, but you cannot masturbate.
That's like having a microwave but not being able to eat popcorn.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can have the fucking microwave with no popcorn.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And boy, can you smell popcorn anywhere?
Right. And plus, you could have the kernels of corn that you could have the bag of popcorn that you could put in the microwave, but you still can't even put it in.
You can't.
You have every element, but no.
Just can't have popcorn. Right. You can put it in it. Just can't turn it on.
But you can masturbate in the microwave.
There's a good lawyer for you. Always trying to find the angle. To get us a
there it is. Well, there it is.
That's kind of odd. You know, although our friend Marsha Warfield from Night Court.
She was one of the first comics I ever saw.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, at the Comedy Store.
Wow.
She's in Vegas a lot at the LA Comedy Club at night with our good friend Skills Hudson out there. It's at the Stratosphere if you're ever there. Mm-hmm. Once in a while I do that. Yeah. That gig, but and she's matter of fact, the last time I was there, our friend Steven has a show on Saturday at the 12 midnight show, The Stool. You know, it's always kind of weird when a gay guy comic starts a show called The Stool. I don't know if that's any really, but it's kind of a neat concept as touring comics come in at midnight that are in Vegas and they do material never performed.
That's great,
right?
That's excellent.
I don't think that's, you know.
Why does he call it The Stool? Like the comedy stool sitting on the stool?
Yeah, he just puts the stool up there.
Put your notes on the stool, I guess, the kind of idea. Yeah, it's a fun concept. So if you're ever out in Vegas, stop by LA Comedy Club. They have shows all week, by the way. Uh-huh. And that's a shameless plug because I'm trying to get there in October.
Mm-hmm. Bring me
try to book me.
I wonder if in LA they have the Las Vegas Comedy Club.
Yeah, we should say that. Now, now let me ask you, you performed in the past at the old New York Comedy Club in Boca.
Right, and of course in New York they have the Boca Comedy Club, which is very popular.
And in Texas they got the Boston Comedy Club. It's like, can somebody just get the signage proper? Because I wanted to come. I remember because that's where I got started. Mm-hmm. And my buddy Perry Sack, who loves you, he says hi, by the way. He says he's like Al LaBelle. Everything's like Al LaBelle, like speak at third. And I was supposed to go that night, and something happened. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I got pulled over and got a DUI or something. Mm-hmm. No, I never had a DUI. Here's a funny story. You know, I talked about robots taking jobs, mm-hmm. like people that wanted, you know, fast food workers complaining about they wanted $14 an hour, and company said, sure, you can get it, but guess what? We're going to hire these fucking robots now instead. And again, even me as a financial planner, you know, they have genius computers now that are going to just, the algorithms, you put the money in, it tells you what to do. And there, here we go. Attorneys ticked. You know, LegalZoom?
LegalZoom,
where people can get all the documents by themselves, and then they have some guy answering the calls, and just put the number here, and you can do it. You don't need to go to an attorney. But security robot meets untimely demise after drowning on the job. Now, they don't know if it actually, it's a new company. It's a private company. It's about to go public, or they're trying to. And I was solicited a prospectus of to get investors to invest in, which is kind of interesting. They look like bullets. They're like just roaming robots that take everything in and stuff. But they don't know if the thing went down an alleyway and fell into the water, or somebody actually pushed the poor
robot into the probably threw itself in when it figured out it was a security robot.
Yeah, I'm not a cop.
What was it doing again, the robot?
It was doing its patrol.
What was the job?
It's in Washington. Let's see here. Okay. A security robot in Washington, D.C.
Security,
yeah. Lovingly named Steve plunged down four steps into a fountain on Monday. Photos show the sad waterlogged robot caught partially submerged in defeat. It's unclear if foul play was involved. Yeah, it's probably some disgruntled
wacky. People out there trying to make the Terminator, man. Like, stop.
It's too much. It's probably some disgruntled Wackenhut guy who lost his job.
Yeah, good.
It's like, I'll show you.
Yeah, you need humans for it. It's like when they're trying to make these robo soldiers to, like, go to war one day, and you can't, like, there's so many things that happen on a battlefield that you need humans to, you know, to make decisions and I don't know how you program ethics into a computer, you know.
But well, you some of a computer these things, robots ethical. Can do that, right? Some of these things you don't need big decisions, right? A robot can do it.
What are the
capabilities of the security robot eventually? Like, is it going to be allowed to apprehend you? You know, like if it, or is it just, you know, after hours when it's trying to catch, you know, people breaking in or something.
These things don't have arms.
A camera.
These things don't have arms. They kind of look like a bullet, and I think they just take information, and if something's happening, they'll record it. Yeah. And
maybe these robots have no aspirations to do anything more.
Yeah. Maybe these are open mic robots. Maybe they're just hobbyist
robots. I'm telling you, though, it starts here like it's how the Terminator, you know, the movie, like, you know, we're looking in the future. That's how it starts. And then some jackass is like, let's put arms on it, and then let's put legs on it, and let's make it run. What if it needs to run and apprehend somebody, you know, and then now it's just tackling everybody and, you know, and then crushing people.
It could be a threat, but I mean, that's why I won't have kids. What if when they grow up, they want to do things?
But you hope that you instill morals and ethics in your children, though, right?
I don't think I'd have the time.
Yeah, you're reading too much.
Right.
I'm reading a book on how to teach.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of talking about learning lessons, man threatens to pull gun over the wrong taco order. I've never been that pissed about food.
Even
although, you know, the last time you and I were in Oklahoma City, you and I, after the show, we went over to Taco Bell. I'm not a Taco Bell guy.
Both of us
are. We go through the drive-thru, and that dumb clown, put your burrito order with my taco order, like mixed it all
just
up.
Just screwed it up.
I was so hungry. I got into the condo in the house. I'm like,
I'm on my way to the house.
It's like midnight. I'm all excited. I'm going to eat my beef burrito, my chicken burrito, and it was a bean burrito.
Yep.
I ate a bean burrito.
Yeah, with cheese.
Oh, I had the rumbles.
See, if you read The Power of Now, you ever read The Power of Now?
No.
It's about being in the present moment. I have the same problem. Think about the future. You were very focused about the future,
right?
The pleasure of the future of eating that.
Oh, right.
Your head was in the future.
Yeah.
If your head was in the present.
I may have looked at it.
You may have looked at it, taken it in.
There you go.
Be present with the food.
Is that a bean or a cow or a chicken on my wrapper?
Right.
In Los Alamos, New Mexico. A New Mexico man is facing charges after police say he threatened to pull a gun on a taco shop employee for giving him the wrong order.
Man. Old guy. Wait, old guy, right?
He just threatened to pull...
Is had to be an old guy who was just... Old? How old was he?
Lex Norman Dana.
Oh, his name is Lex Norman. That's an old man's name.
Was arrested Sunday following a heated exchange with an employee at the Rigoberto's taco shop.
I'm telling you. This is an old guy got into an argument with some kid. Mm-hmm. He was tired of being disrespected, and this was the taco pushed him over the edge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is exactly what happened.
Los Alamos Police Department Corporal Jamal Montoya says the employee said Dini's promised to retrieve a gun out of his car over the alleged botched tacos.
Yeah.
The 48-year-old Dini's was booked at the Los Alamos County Detention Center and facing disorderly conduct charges and spilling his taco.
48.
Was, yeah.
Yeah, 48 could be construed as a little older, you know. This guy was probably tired of people walking on him.
To you. You
know? I'm 40. I'm 40. But, you know, I mean, but if you spent a life of getting walked on, you know.
Like, I don't speak too many old people going to have tacos.
Right. But the question
you
is
just
like,
said we were at Taco Bell.
Someone saying promised to go get his gun. I don't know if that rises to the level of
no,
a threat.
Just do it.
Oh, that's a threat.
Is it definitely? I'm going to go get my gun.
You're threatening.
Well,
it is a verbal threat.
I'll attack you if you tell me you're going to go get a weapon and shoot me with.
For example,
you know I don't know if that's enough.
No, you're right. I agree with the alert. I agree with my counsel here.
It's got to be a reasonable.
It's got to be a reasonable danger.
If he's got a gun, because he doesn't have it on his person.
If he says to you, you're standing in front of somebody, so I'm going to go to my car and get my gun, and you pull out your gun and shoot him in the back as he's going
that's
there,
that's too much.
You're done. You're going to jail.
That's not self-defense.
No.
You have to be in reasonable
apprehension. No, I'm talking about, I mean, well, what, but what did the worker do? Like, did the worker do anything to the guy?
He just gave him the wrong fucking taco, and the guy.
So he called the police.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You call the police in that situation. Yeah, say this guy just said he's going to go get a gun and shoot me.
If somebody says to me,
I think you can call the police.
You could definitely. But you can't just shoot the guy. You know, it's like brandishing. Like it's illegal to brandish a weapon in a car. You can't like stick a weapon out and say I'm going to fucking shoot you. You keep cutting my lane. You know, and then it's illegal.
That's illegal.
Yeah.
Wow, I got to stop doing that.
Yeah, you better. It's not very smart either. I saw somebody do that recently, and he pulled the gun out, and everybody in the other car pulled theirs out.
Wow.
Everybody pulled their phones out. You're done.
Listen, I carry a gun. I have a concealed weapons permit. I'll keep it on me. And listen, I'm at a new stage of my life on the road. I don't get mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am Mr. Fun-Loving on the road now. Somebody cuts me off, go ahead, man. I'm in not that big of a hurry anymore.
How did you evolve into that?
It just happened. I'm on the road so much, I just got tired. I got enough shit to be aggravated about.
That's great.
I can't expect to be driving around a bunch of Mensas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can't expect to not see ignorance. That's a new reality I've had. In my life, I cannot expect to not run into ignorance somewhere in my
day.
That's
very Buddhist of you.
Yeah?
You don't need the power of now, maybe.
No, I don't. I'm in the now, the then, and the later.
Right.
I have it all together right now.
By the way, one thing I noticed about Florida, seems different than California. I've noticed on like Route 95 or any of the highways, I've noticed a lot of cars to the left and right that are broken down.
Yeah.
On the
there's so many broken.
What is going on?
I've never seen. Why? In Orlando, it is every, like, they're all over. I just said the same thing myself a month ago.
What is going on? There's a shortage of auto mechanics. Seriously? No. So what's going on here? Because I haven't seen that in California.
It's the capital of shitty cars. I just don't. Like, I drove here with the Waze app, and it gets annoying. You know, the Waze. Do you know about this app?
Can you believe it? Because I did.
Yeah, you got the Waze app?
Because I've done Lyft. I was forced into it. I would never have it. Yeah. I would never understand
So you know Waze. You just don't know cock rings.
Right.
Okay. Got you. But
well, it's important.
But you know the Waze app though, it'll tell you there's a car stopped.
Yes.
I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
And just use Google Maps because it's so annoying. Because you know, I was like, blah, 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 it makes the noise to get your attention, and I have the Bluetooth going, and it's just like, I'm like, another broke down car.
Let me finish on this story. You guys will get a heck. This family gets HIV testing after catheter found in the ice cream tub.
Oh,
a family gathering in Quebec to celebrate the arrival of a new baby. Boy suddenly turned sour this weekend when someone discovered a piece of catheter inside the ice cream they were eating.
That's intentional.
Three people had already started eating the brand of ice cream flavored with pecan nuts.
Oh.
And someone else's probably.
Man.
Chocolate and double caramel. When one of the guests, the new grandfather, felt something hard in his mouth. He spit it out. He goes, I haven't felt something hard in a long time. I spit it out and saw that there was a piece of a catheter.
A catheter. Holy.
How could that be in an ice cream?
Somebody toss it. They need to go back to all the laid off employees over the last month and just go investigate. Somebody had to do that.
This family,
that doesn't accidentally happen. You know what I mean?
This family
had
now,
to be an asshole and be like,
This family now, by the way, has to not only they
they're
everything's
be rich.
Okay now, but they got to now every 6 months go get HIV
but
tests.
But wait a minute. I thought HIV, it's got to enter your bloodstream somehow. It's got to enter a cut.
Well, if you got blood and you take it in.
Well, a catheter has maybe all the fluid on it
you absorb it through your stomach.
And I would think that you'd have to have a cut in your lips or something. Just sucking it in, I think, into your saliva.
Well,
they're
taking the precaution. They're getting tested.
Yeah, hopefully it wasn't Freddie Mercury's catheter.
I saw a thing on Facebook where a baby got kissed and the person who kissed the baby
hepatitis
had
or meningitis,
herpes,
meningitis,
and the baby died.
Yeah, they gave the baby meningitis.
I can't think of anything like. Wow. I always freak out like when people want to, you know, touch my babies.
And yeah, just
like,
fist bump the baby.
Just fist bump the baby. Yeah, I wanted to actually. That was one of my ideas for Shark Tank. You know, the covers. I wanted to put that on the cover, like just fist bump my baby,
don't
tell people
baby.
Don't kiss your because. And then what kind of an asshole do you got to be to, you know, you know you got herpes and you're kissing babies.
Yeah, giving up the lips. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show today.
Just having fun.
Just getting going. I want to thank my guest, Brett James.
Thank you, man.
And, of course, Al LaBelle.
Thank you.
These guys will be at the Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight. Just $10. Call 954-509-0046 to come out to the show. Aside from that, don't forget to follow our show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous and join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Friday night, I'll be at Bonkers in East Orlando closing the show out at the Boardwalk Bowl Entertainment Center. So come out to that. How about you, real quick?
I have, next Wednesday, I'll be in Tampa at the Oasis Hookah Lounge.
There you go. And Mr. LaBelle?
Yeah, Saturday, I'm at a, I feel bad. I didn't come here with, it's in Punta Gorda. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
It's a Saturday night room. Do you know the room I'm talking about?
Punta Gorda?
I have it on my
phone. Is it four stars? Is that with Gordon Myers?
Should I look it up?
Is it Bassani's?
Look it up on my phone.
It's on the website.
Chubby Z. You ever hear that?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Okay.
Chubby Z is in Port Punta Gorda, Florida this Friday.
This Saturday night.
Come out to see Al LaBelle. That's it, guys. All we have time for. Thanks for watching. And, of course, we'll be back next week with all new shows right here at the same spot. Take care.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. People of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. Came a sound from inside, thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They guessed the limits of imagination to the door to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children.